Hey there, loyal listeners. As you know, the Top Games podcast is made possible by Hardcore Gaming 101's Patreon supporters, who help keep this show alive by donating as little as $2 each month. If you were to join them in doing that, you would not only help keep the lights on at HG 101 Towers, you'd also get access to our super secret Patreon RSS feed, which is full of ad-free versions of this podcast with exclusive bonus game rankings. Here's a taste of what you've been missing. We're going to be ranking a game we nominated for ourselves, Oregon Trail Deluxe.
Basically, your whole goal is to get from Missouri to Oregon.
If you get to the end, it doesn't matter how much of your family dies as long as you're there, right?
Well, it actually does matter if you're playing for score, because having everyone is about 2,000 points.
It's 1992, I'm in the computer lab at my school. What I'm playing for is to not be reading or doing anything else. So I'm playing, for that. And then also you get to leave funny tombstones when your kids die. So that's like the real reward of the game, is when your kid dies of dysentery, you get to say like, Boogerman died of dysentery.
Go to patreon.com/HG101 and pledge a couple bucks. That's patreon.com/HG101. Act now and be a hero.
Some, this is painfully obvious, but hardcore gaming means it ain't for the novices. The main source to brain train your knowledge, a lane maintained with a course aimed at colleges. To HG101, we give the honor, thanks to Kirk Alada, Xerxes, the host of Proper, as well as Satanga, Cal and Bobinator, Booker Hart and others, discuss and discover all the 47,000 games, and when they rate them, you can bet it's scientifically locked in position. Speaking of which, no system is obscure, and look, they wrote a book about it, go out and cop yours.
Hello and welcome to HardcoreGaming101.net's Top 47,858 Games of All Time podcast, where we objectively, definitively, and scientifically rank the games that you nominate. My name is Xerxes, and I'm the show's main host and producer, and on this podcast we have three rules. Rule 1, all rankings are final, official, and scientifically accurate. Rule 2, you can nominate one game at a time via 5-star review on iTunes or Stitcher. Those are the ones we try to get to first. You can also go to bit.ly/rankthisplease. And add a game to the slush pile and cross your fingers. We make no guarantees on those. Rule number 3, you can nominate games that have already been nominated, just don't nominate games you've already ranked. See the master list for yourself. It's at bit.ly/47kgames. That's bit.ly/47kgames.
Dog's Bower. Hey, Dog's Bower. Hey, Dog's Bower. Hey, Dog's Bower.
I don't know. Up next, we have Narc, nominated by Von Caster, and this is the slush title, with, quote, "Winners Don't Do Drugs," developed by Williams Electronics, published by WMS Industries. Release date and territory was 1988 worldwide, we think, and it came out for the arcade first. Joining with me today is...
I'm Bobinator.
I'm Kyle.
And I'm Word on the Wind.
All right, so who wants to start off with Narc for the arcade? The Narcade.
So Narc is basically the wet dream of Daryl Gates.
Okay.
Why don't we know Daryl Gates? Is that...
Police...
Daryl Gates is the former commissioner of chief of police of L.A. and was the founder of the SWAT team. And was pretty much one of the big conservative components of the war on drugs, which this game is, the subject matter of.
This was like the late 80s, 90s war of drug game. Because like before this, I think, a lot of the war on drugs was you'd play an arcade game and you'd have that little screen like, "Winners don't do drugs." And that was that.
Mm-hmm.
And then
as Session's name at the bottom.
Right. And then they started making, the cartoons and video games about, how terrible drugs were and how you were going to help fight that war on drugs. One of my favorite examples being G.I. Joe once got together with Cobra Commander to fight against drugs. If you didn't know, that's a thing that happened.
Commander would be against drugs.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he's an evil, terrorist guy who, I guess, wants to kill people or whatever, but drugs are just a
drugs
bridge too far
too
for
far.
Him. Yeah. It's against my moral compass, is the But yeah, I don't know if Bally Midway, so I don't know if Reagan himself commissioned this game, but this is that era where people believed drug dealers, they're going to try to trick you into drugs Yeah, force you. I
thought a lot about that when I was just playing this game. I'm like, there is no freaking drug dealer out there who's like, have some free drugs. Like, no.
Oh, and the addicts. Like, even though the dealers are the ultimate evil, the addicts are evil too, because now their brains are fried and they're also trying to get you.
And you have to murder all of them. Just blow them away.
Killing homeless by the horde, they are just like coming into you just clumps at a time.
Watch out, Bob, because they'll whip out of their flashy trench coats future guns and they will try and shoot you, the police. Isn't your name in this game? It's like Max Power and Hitman.
One and player two, respectively.
Yeah, I really like Hitman's badge number because it's 999. You know,
I think the badge number might be like a player score related thing.
It's not my score.
That sounds about right. Yeah, like it's it has to do with the score ranking or something like that.
The police are now a meritocracy where you murder the more drug addicts you murder, the higher your badge rank.
And they do a thing where, like, every stage, like, graphically, this game is really nice looking, I think, for an old arcade game. It was, like, digitized, kind of like Mortal Kombat-esque, I think, if I remember. Like, there's, like...
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, like, actors on a... Yeah, like, who are posing for photos, and that's how you make the sprite art. Your character is wearing, like, a bike helmet, a vest, and a submachine gun.
And no sleeves.
Like, no sleeves, exactly. And you are out to kill the fuck out of
Narc. Okay. It's Narc.
You're just there to murder everyone that potentially has any sort of relation to a bong. Incidentally, bongs and coke bags are the score items of the game.
Yes. Arcade cabinet had four buttons laid out very strangely, almost like your fingers would have to be like splayed to it, if I remember.
Yeah, your fingers become splayed from the drugs that you were doing.
Right. And you could shoot. There's a shoot, jump, duck, and missile, which made you just, you had like a submachine gun in one hand and then another submachine gun that shot a rocket. And it was like had a big AOE and like body parts would go everywhere. And this was like a trick Midway did when you blew somebody up where they would blow them up, but they'd repeat their limbs a few times. So they'd have like 8 or 20 arms suddenly.
Yeah,
when you blew them
the Mortal Kombat brutality trick.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
I mean, this game is crazy violent for just an open
arcade floor. Yeah, this is an extremely violent, gory game. Like, the number of times you're going to send, like, seven men flipping in on fire through the air is ridiculous.
It also runs, like, pretty damn fast. Like, you'd think it might collapse when you hit, like, 8 people with a rocket and it, like, blows everyone up. It doesn't, really. It just keeps... No.
This game is totally fine with just throwing 20 men at you on screen at once, and you can blow them all to hell with one missile, and it keeps chugging along just fine. You, however, are probably not going to keep chugging along, because you die really damn easy in this game, especially
when you're a vest is just a puffy vest. Puncher. It is not a bulletproof vest.
it's just a ski vest.
Right, exactly.
I really like your character design in this, because it is totally... Whoever, like, wherever they did the photography for the characters, one of the people there owned a motorcycle. Like, that is the character design. It's just, they get your helmet, we're doing something with this. Little note, the two characters, the player one is a white cop, and player two is a black cop. They switch the palettes around, so you do have two, you know, there's your diversity in the game, really. There's no
way
diversity.
To get representation in a game through palette swapping.
It's yeah, it's the palette swap. There aren't many other characters, really. Like, there's every enemy type is a specific, like, drug dealer, drug pusher, or, like, a guy named, like, Trash Man who throws garbage bins at you, which I love.
My favorite bad guy are, like, the leather jacket-wearing pusher guys that sometimes come in with blue skin, and the way that they fight you is they just throw their syringe
of heroin
at you.
Yeah, they get you hooked on crack!
And it just sticks into you, and it stuns you for, like, 2 seconds while sapping away your health, and it, like, gets crazy if you get hit twice, and you turn rainbow colors. It's like, oh, shit, it's the fuzz! Throw the heroin!
I like how they just throw the syringes so hard, they just kind of, like, embed themselves into your flesh.
And then they inject you with hardcore drugs. Because that's the risk in the future. Like, in the future, it's just drugs.
In the future, impact trigger syringes will exist.
Well, because isn't it that the trash can guy is supposed to be the steroid guy?
Yeah. Is it like a PCP? Like the April Dust guy?
Of course there's guys that are high on PCP, so they're bulletproof, just like every asshole at the end of a gang movie in the 80s and 90s.
Also, there's a perverted clown with a knife, so there's that.
Oh, yeah, Kinky Pinky. No, that's his name. I'm not.
No, I know that's his name. That's why it's so funny.
Okay.
I am not.
Hold on. I had to look at the NARC wiki. I'm kidding. Yeah. There isn't one. There's a villains wiki because the main bad guy is named Mr. Big.
Yeah.
Do you remember the name of the organization?
Yeah.
He runs. You want to?
No.
It's crack. K-R-A-K.
Yes, it's just the name of the drug. Like, it's just crack. Except it's, yeah. They make the drug crack. It's a legitimate organization in the future where they make the drug.
In the back of the final boss arenas, there's, like, Mr. Big International.
Oh, my God. Wait a minute. I have to send you guys.
He's a giant, head, by the way. Like, that's the twist, is he's a giant head.
Yeah, basically, it's like have you ever quarter munched through Smash TV 2?
Yeah,
the same final boss, basically, you fight the giant except head. Slightly less Hitler.
Yeah,
I love the way
total
the game
annihilation.
Works.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the whenever a level starts, it introduces the new enemy type for the level, and it does like this like zoom in where it's like
yeah, it's like honestly pretty cool.
It's like, him, Johnny does tons of drugs, man. It's like super, like, they've all got like nicknames that are just the most ridiculous, like, and the name is Hardcore PCP. Like,
and I didn't, when you said the pervert clown, I didn't know what you meant, but the clown, there is a clown enemy with a knife, but his name is Kinky Pinky.
That's right, Pinky.
Yeah, Joe Rockhead is the name of the PCP guy. And, yeah. There's also a bonus stage where you're driving a Ferrari. Because, well,
you go across the bridge and you keep getting in your Ferrari. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how much of a bonus stage that is, though, because it's probably one of the most unfun levels to play because it's like you look at the attract sequence for the game or watch someone else play it and they're like, oh shit, you get to drive a car over people in this game. That's awesome. This is the best arcade game. And they just line the road with dumpsters that instantly kill the car after driving it for 3 seconds.
And
this
you get,
repeats
like-
for like. Six times through
yes,
the
like
level.
Every screen, you just get a new car and drive it one more screen over, and then it explodes in a trash bin. It's great. It's amazing. And you can still fire your rockets out of the car. It just comes out of the car. And yeah, you can run people over, which I don't think is proper police procedure.
I don't know.
Get into that now.
I don't know how much they think cops make either that you're driving a Ferrari as like your police car.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Show up in your police Ferrari.
Yeah, you're absolutely going to go out and drug bust every single drug pusher in the city in your vehicle in your extremely expensive import vehicle that doesn't even have a car top.
Well, because it's not even labeled as, like, a police car. It's not done out in, like, black and white or black and blue or white and blue or anything.
Yeah, no, it's just this red, like, road eater.
And you can, if you're playing two-player, your friend can jump in the car as well. It's not, you don't get a car each. You just cruise along in the car together, running over.
Yeah, Outrun this is not.
I feel like I should know what kind of car it was, because I think it's a Ferrari, but
it looks like a Ferrari.
Yeah, it's like an F3, I forget, whatever.
It's one of those... irresponsibly expensive import cars.
It's a car that nobody on this podcast or maybe listening will be able to own, except for you, Alfonso. But
Anyway, what I like about the game is some of the background details are just absurd. You've got near the beginning, I think it's the second level. It zooms in on like one of the drug pushers, and above them they've got like a storefront, and the storefront says like. Crack Industries, 1 billion dead. And it's like, that's their, like, marquee logo. That's not, like, spray-painted graffiti. That's, like, that is their tagline for their, like outfit there. It's like,
for their
1 billion
business.
Dead.
That's the thing, right, because, like, you know what the thing is that if you actually look up things about, like, real deal sort of, like, how, like, what am I trying to say here? Like, the black market on drugs actually, like, narcotics actually works. They actually don't like killing people because, A, they're customers, and B, like, it draws unwanted attention and things like that,
Mm-hmm.
But again, this was the 80s when drugs were not just evil, but they were, like, crazy evil, and you'd never want to sell anything unless you were absolutely going to kill the fuck out of your customers, a.k.a. children.
Right.
Yeah.
Like drug dealers like live like literally outside of every school, just waiting for class to end, so they just like give free drugs to every kid who walks by.
And the kid would have to they give you like little tips in those commercials, like if they offer you drugs, you say like, I'm like, what are you, chicken? For not doing, I guess, PCP after class, Roger. And then like Roger'd have to be like, I'm not a chicken, you're a turkey. And it's like even as like a little kid watching cartoons, I'm like, that's a terrible comeback. Like, I would never say that.
Yeah, I know.
What right, the? I just got to ask real quick. I know it's off topic. We've all watched Cartoon All-Stars of Rescue, right?
I haven't seen it, but I know what it's about.
Which one? I'm sorry?
Cartoon All-Stars
of Rescue. The big mega mix of like four different major franchises kinda of cartoons sounds, just yeah, that banded into one.
Yeah, it had like Garfield and big, Elf and DuckTales and all that.
Yeah, for a big anti-marijuana wow. campaign.
Okay, yeah, I kind of remember that.
Well, but never mind the fact that, you know, drugs get consumed by people who are, you know, depressed and unhappy and all that other kinds of
it's
stuff.
It's the war on drugs. You must blow up everyone who has drugs in their possession. Then you pick up the drugs, and that's evidence, and now you make, like, points?
I know everybody comes to Hardcore Gaming 101 for the inside scoop on narcotics and things like that. But, no, I mean, it's a complicated issue, and it's a very serious one, etc. But again, this is the whole thing is, like, this is, like, the 80s or early 90s where it's, like,
I like how that's
you're going to kill you're going to kill the fuck out of all these drug users and pushers for America and Ronald Reagan, you know.
You're making me think of something really funny, and I'll tell you about it later.
Alrighty. Also, but I've got to say, like, it's unclear whether this game is satire or parody. Like, it's... I think
it's supposed to be completely serious.
Okay, I don't think it's any of those things.
I'm going to say I think it's satire, and here's why. When you beat the game, you get a screen that says, "Congratulations, you completed the NARC training program. Contact your local DEA recruiter."
Yep. I don't think they're joking, though.
Yeah, I know. That's why I think it's serious.
Like, I feel like someone might have wanted a serious, like, the people making it, I think, knew, because I'm almost confident that half the people on this were on drugs. And I'm not saying that, like, the game is crazy. Just know, like, they're freaking, like, random-ass, like, arcade programmers in the 80s. There's a good chance that several of them were at least doing pot. Like, at least.
We should probably talk about the gameplay a little more at some point.
But the thing is,
there's not much to say. Like, it's kind of like a beat-em-up, but you shoot.
Everyone has a projectile attack except for the psycho clowns, and they're like the only dudes that don't die in one hit because they need to get into melee with you.
Well, that's not true, because the trash guys also walk up to you and start like headbutting you awkwardly until you die. Yeah.
You can shoot people. You can also like touch them for a little while. You can touch them for a while and they'll get busted, which gets you more points.
I really like that mechanic.
Oh yeah, they can also be surrendering and they're like, "Oh, I surrender," and then you shoot them.
You can gun down people who have legitimately surrendered, and the game will not punish or mention it in any way. They will literally, with a digitized voice, they will shout, "I give up!" And you can be like, "Too bad. You had your choice," and then shoot a rocket at him.
You had your choice and you chose drugs. The most evil thing I've
Kaboom.
Ever heard of.
You know, like, that's ice cold from the police force.
Don't you dare come to me talking about Rat Park. Don't you bring education to me. How dare you?
I'm just going to come out and say it. It's not a very good game, because mostly the big problem is it's a 80s arcade game from the West, and because of that, it's just completely unfair.
It really wants your money. Yeah.
It is immensely quarter-mungy, and, like, the things that would be the highlights of the cool point, like, you know, like, driving the car and whatnot, you don't really get to do...
Yeah, that bit felt like they wanted to make, like, just a cool little segment where you drove on the bridge and ran over people, and occasionally your car got blown up, but for some reason they went completely insane with it and just kept blowing up the car, like, every 2 seconds.
Like, yeah, this is just like a Ferrari wrecking fetish or something.
Again, you know, it was the 80s where, like, Ferraris were, like, the most incredible.
Those things crumple immediately. They're terrible. Don't drive, like, an 80s Ferrari. You will die.
No, you will. There's no power steering or anything.
It's just, like, if it touches a wall, you will explode and die.
I mean, I don't know who we're talking to right now.
That tracks, since, you know, you just hit a dumpster full of garbage and it explodes violently.
Which, by the way, the bridge is just covered in dumpsters full of garbage. I don't know what kind of, like, insane society they're living in where, like, the Golden Gate Bridge or whatever, like, major bridge this is, it just, like, you crash into, like, thousands of garbage cans. Like, what the hell is this? This is the future. The thing that I actually think this game, inside the game, in the core, I think there's a good game. It's got, like, some clever stuff. Enemies shoot high or low. You can duck. You can jump. You can arrest things. You can shoot them. You can turn around.
You can bait, like, dogs over landmines and blow them to doggy hell.
Well, they actually don't kill the dogs, which I really like.
Only in the NES version.
No, arcade version. In the arcade version, they get tiny as well. I was playing it. I don't know if there's a dip switch setting.
I just I was just watching a long play. They exploded fantastically.
I don't know if maybe they explode.
There
might have
been like a censored version or something.
Because I know when you shoot them in the arcade version I was playing, they shrink.
To be fair, I do feel like Midway games also like had a lot of like revisions, like at least with the Mortal Kombat. Because looking at there's 2, 3.2, and 7. It looks like.
Maybe they ran in and were like, ooh, maybe our recruitment tool for the DEA should not have a bunch of dog murder. Because dogs are just doing their thing.
Yeah, like, I don't see a dip.
Yeah, you know, just chewing your face off, you know.
Well,
the
game
never
zooms in on the dog and says, like, doggy dog drug doer. Like, it never, like, you never get any information about the dog. I think the dog is just chilling.
Can we assume dogs from drugs, too?
I don't know, like, it's the future of drug doing, so maybe. You break into that, like, one lab that's just giant beakers of drugs, which are, like...
That explodes violently, so I guess it's
big
a meth lab.
Chemical things of drugs, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't... or Kool-Aid.
Yeah, like... Or, like it's clearly, like, a photo of a regular beaker with colored liquid in it. Like, this is not a... It is a upscaled, like, scaled-up, regular-sized beaker to, like, human proportions.
It's like if I asked my mom, what does a drug lab look like? And she, like, had to describe it to me somehow. I was like, I imagine there's chemicals, you know? And I'd be like... And I'm a kid, and I'm like, different color chemicals, Mom? Sure. Green, red, don't do drugs. I know.
You go to, like, the ganja, like growing lab, which is just a bunch of pot plants, like the office fern that has been photographed and then copy-pasted, like, dozens of times. Like, this is the marijuana lab. It's a funny game. I like it quite a bit.
It's a funny game to talk about. I don't think it's a funny game to play.
So firstly, one thing, it's very much a two-player game. It's so blatantly a two-player game. Because in one player, everything just swarms you and you just die, basically. In two-player...
You basically can't beat the final boss as a single player because, like... You need the gunfire of multiple people to keep it away from you long enough to actually be able to hit it and damage.
Because
otherwise it just like comes right over and chews you up.
It's impossible. It really is. It's unbelievable. Yeah.
Like they did that in the long play I was watching. Like they got to that point. It's like, okay, I'm going to try this legit twice. And then they just went, nope, here's a controller map second player that mirrors my moves. Hey, look, now I can actually fight it.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, if you've probably seen any Midway final boss is always the same. It's somebody in a motorized thing and then you shoot them and then something stupid happens. And in this case, it's like, I think Mr. Big becomes like a giant head.
He becomes the Terminator on like a snake, like neck.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And then you kill him and cockroaches start spilling out of him.
Because that's the real truth about drugs.
Dude, that's where
but
drugs
that's not the
really
end of the game. Came. Then you get to go to Mr. Big's gold vault because you won!
And that's
you
the
take
boss.
All the money. Gold like collectibles.
And, you know, normally they should, I feel like they should be like, morally, this is blood money because of all the drugs. But like, they're like, nah, just take it. Get a new Ferrari, whatever.
Yeah.
The drugs are done.
Six of them.
Yeah, you won
we
the
need
world.
A dozen more. Because we've got a thing on 5th at 12.
I'm glad that you also do mention that, again, it's a Midway game. So the collecting of collectibles is satisfying. You know, you pick up the, like, the noise of, like, ching, 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 like, clink, 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 clink. Like, every time you collect anything, it's like, yes, I collected it. You finish a level, and it's like, it, like, makes, like, you know, it counts out your stuff, and it's like, doof, 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 doof,
doof, doof, doof, doof, doof. Oh, yeah.
And you're just like, yeah, I collected that. And it's like, it feels good. Like, it's a gut. It's got all those, like, things, like, you can tell why people liked it. Like, they were just like, yeah, I just spent $30 on the war on drugs. I'm crazy. Stop drugs.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, that. I feel like that's the great irony of this game. In order to be actually beat it, you need to pay for it, pay it out like a crack addict.
It's Narc. If you never played it, I do recommend it, because it's, like
do it on an emulator so you don't...
Yeah, don't.
So
I would never...
There's an NES version, too, which is like? Pretty bad from what I remember. Mm-hmm. It's because, again, you have four buttons you're mapping to two, and they weren't smart about it.
I mean, you can't, like this, it's all spectacle. This game is a lot of spectacle. Like, when you...
Yeah, it's a lot of spectacle, not a lot of substance, and it doesn't even attempt anything at balance.
It doesn't attempt to balance. Like, the drug dealers all run into a helicopter, and then you gotta jump into the air and fire a rocket at him in midair, and then they explode, and then you get flown everywhere. And before we rank it, I'm just going to mention this game. You have the perfect strut. You're like little walkie side to side, like I'm the hottest cop in the world, kind of like gonna shoot some drug deals.
Hey, check out these guns. No, really.
Yeah, like you've got this. Like, I love the walking loop in this game. It's just such like a cocky, like stride.
It is kind of like a stripper walk.
It's like the digitization booth wasn't big enough, and they're like, no, you can't take a step. You got to kind of awkwardly shuffle, otherwise, again, they're not be able to cut out the picture.
The treadmill we used was a little too small. Take it easy.
One thing that is also worth mentioning, right? Just the last thing, I think, maybe before we rank it, unless there is anything else. The PlayStation 2 version, when they re-released this game, as they do to all IPs, now you do drugs, and those are your power-ups, because at the time, that was the edgy thing.
God.
Is that like Final Fight Streetwise, where it's just like, let's completely miss the game's point?
No, because Final Fight Streetwise, you're still against the drugs.
I guess. Like, you do end up taking some drugs, if I remember correctly.
Do you? I forget that part.
I remember seeing like a stream that remake, and it is most like, San Andreas is super popular. We have to get in on this game you have ever seen.
Yeah.
Maybe not San Andreas, maybe some Grand Theft Auto, but you know what 2005 was like.
It was like, Grand Theft Auto hit big.
Yeah, San Andreas was the thing at 2005, yeah.
Crimes in. How about you do drugs? You know? And then it's like, because as we were making fun of it earlier for being too on the war of drug side, that's like a little too much on the other side. Like, yeah, let's do some speed. We'll
yeah,
be able
to
run
let's
fast.
Be corrupt cops. And it's like, oh, yeah, let's absolutely legitimize the claims of, you know, oh, yeah, they just collected to use it all for themselves, which is true.
Yeah, I mean, we've done a whole podcast. We're not saying you should do a whole bunch of drugs. Just, you don't need a massive war on drugs.
Like realistically, if you're contemplating that stuff, like, that means you probably have, you know,
you need help.
Difficult situation in your life, either like your family, your friends, or your living situation. You know, you're probably having a lot of governmental problems. Like, try talking to a therapist first, you know, before anything else.
I definitely would say I would agree with that for sure. But I think but if you're going to take away from anything from this podcast
in
particular, I would say don't, whatever a video game thinks about drugs is wrong.
Yes.
That's, if I had to put it in any way, that is the one thing I could say.
Yes.
Actually, there's one thing I've remembered that since we are talking about don't take video games advice, there are like the ladies in this game, right? And they get kidnapped by Kinky Pinky. But what happens is you get a bonus for not letting them get kidnapped or die, but you also can just accidentally blow them up and the game doesn't give a crap. Like, you're these, like, apparently amazing, like, crack police down team guys, and they're like, we just, like, kill, like, 30 innocent people. That's fine.
That's the objective for the level. Protect innocence, and innocent apparently means,
if you're in the general vicinity of the drugs, you're just fodder.
Yeah, they had their chance. They were too near drugs.
Yeah, but the innocent
drugs.
Means...
The war on drugs. Not a war on chivalry. It's not a war on anything like that. We're here for fucking drugs.
Yeah,
kill them.
Let's get them.
In this game. So
it's just like, it just considers women to be an acceptable casualty.
Apparently.
Like, like the DEA in general.
Who isn't? Who is not an acceptable casualty?
I will burn this whole city down to get rid of a single drug. That
I'm going to be honest. I don't think these guys have any, like, actual organization behind them. They just kind of just picked up some guns and just
they, like,
went nuts.
They, like, badges on the ground and were like, done! Wartime!
And then it is actually Daryl Gates, like, on the radio, just, like, from his fired position in Los Angeles, wherever the hell he is at the time. Because he wasn't the police chief when this game was made, I don't think.
Thank goodness.
And it's just him, so, like, you two, my specially groomed operatives. Go forth and do unto my will.
Also, I keep saying future, like, crimes. I don't know when this game is set. It's set at some point. It doesn't care. It doesn't.
It's, yeah.
It's set in 1990 drug.
All right, let's do this.
I keep looking
now.
At games. I don't know. UN Squadron is 227. Help me out.
UN Squadron is a better game than this game. You can actually play UN Squadron.
I'm thinking of Mortal Kombat, above or below.
Oh, it's gotta be.
Where's Mortal Kombat? 357?
Worse than Mortal Kombat.
What?
Mortal Kombat's 384.
Yeah, come on.
What?
Mortal Kombat's not a good, like, fighting game at all, but, like, at least it's, like, in the arcade back in the day. All right. I'm totally fine
with putting it right underneath Mortal Kombat, because it's basically the same thing, a ridiculous spectacle that doesn't really have any grounding in reality and isn't that good to play.
Influence.
Here's a thought, okay? Technocop is actually pretty similar to this game, but I'd rather play this than Technocop.
Is that true? Because I... Yeah, like, oh, Rampage... What? Rampage is 376. What do you all think about Rampage?
I like Rampage.
Yeah, I mean, this game is no Revolution X, so...
I think that's fair. Like Revolution X is a little bit less... Are they not... Are they actually serious? Like, that's... Revolution X is a comedy. This is a comedy because I'm not sure if it's a comedy. That's what makes it funny to me, is how insane that is.
But yeah, I think this is supposed to be taken entirely seriously, which is why it's a big freaking joke.
I don't know why this ended up the Midway zone, but...
I think that might say something about Midway!
Anyway, I'm happy to put it above Technocop, but below Sonic Battle, because Sonic Battle is an earnest game. I'm happy to do that.
Alright, what do you think, Beef?
Yeah, that's good.
Good for you, Ward?
I would adhere to the below Mortal Kombat, but I'm not going to fight that too hard. Like, this is still in, you know, the not-so-great but playable kind of sort of but not really zone.
I keep telling you, I had a lot of fun playing this two-player once through. I wouldn't ever load up Mortal Kombat 1 again to play two-player, because I'd play a better Mortal Kombat, to be perfectly honest. But this one, if you got someone who you like to play arcade games with, credit feed through it, have some laughs at how ridiculous we were in the 80s, and just keep going on, you know? I think it's all right.
All right, so yeah, go ahead and just log it in adjacent to Technocop. That's fine.
Technocop! It's going at 378, which puts it above Technocop and below Sonic Battle, which vaguely is a little like this game in terms of it's this weird, like, beat-em-up-y kind of thing. So we're getting there. We're making a list.
All right.
That's all for this episode. Special thanks goes out to our lovely co-hosts and compatriots, our booking agent Jeff Rood, our theme song MC Norm, check him out at Normally Retro on Twitter, and our technical assistant, video editor, and scriptwriter Ed Burns. You can support this podcast by making a small monthly donation at patreon.com/HG101, I know I did, by subscribing to the HG101 YouTube channel, and by following at GC9X and at HG_101 on Twitter. You can also hang out with us at our Discord channel. It's at bit.ly/HG Discord, but most importantly, help us spread the love of games by getting on iTunes, subscribing to HG101, and giving us a 5-star review. Do it because you like us and you want us to succeed. Until next time, keep keeping it real.